He's the ginger Green Lantern. He's the bowl cut Green Lantern. It's time to talk about Guy Gardner, because your geek history lesson is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Emerald Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or ring bearer from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. And this week we are returning to the Green Lantern Corps, a group from which we have taught many lessons for in the past.
We have taught many lessons in the past, but a lot of people, three exactly, have suggested that we need to do a geek history lesson on Guy Gardner.
Cheers to Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner, the Green Lantern. And the people that suggested that are Katie Campbell, Eric Oberholzer, and at Hinkleman Mitch. So thank you so much for suggesting that. If you want to suggest a future geek history lesson like them, you can go to where, Ashley?
You can go to geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There is a whole bunch of ways to be in touch in all of those places.
Yes. And if you're wondering, you know, I've never heard of this Guy Gardner guy before. Well, don't worry. That's exactly what this episode is going to teach you. So also, just to let you know, if you're looking for, you like this podcast, you like GHL, you like podcasts from us, maybe you want more podcasts from us, don't forget, you can go check out some extra podcasts that we have, including the personal and fun Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures. That podcast you can only hear if you support us on patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. And now to the 10 cent origin, the first part of this podcast, not a personal podcast that you can only hear on Patreon.
Yes, the first part of the podcast where Professor Jason is going to lay down all the who's it's and what's it's and important facts in case you go to a cool Lantern Corps party and someone asks you what's up with that Guy Gardner guy.
Guy is known as Guy Darren with an I. Gardner, a.k.a. Warrior, a.k.a. The Grinder, a.k.a. Green Lantern, a.k.a. The Crazy One, a.k.a. Green Lantern of Sector 2814.3, a.k.a. The Red Lantern, a.k.a. The Gardner, a.k.a. Sharila Tomei, a.k.a. Guy Joseph Gardner. Oh, yeah. They've changed his middle name a couple of times, a.k.a. Honor Guard of the Green Lantern Corps. He, of course, is a DC Comics character. He's half human and half Voldarian, depending on the retcon. What is a Voldarian? Well, I'm glad you asked, because they are a humanoid race of elite warriors with shape-shifting abilities similar to the Durlans. Ashley, do you have any idea who the Durlans are?
No.
They are the race of Chameleon Boy from the Legion of Superheroes, the little orange guys with the antennae.
That's so funny, because my brain, I was like, don't say that you don't care who the Durlans are. Yeah. And then you made me care, because Chameleon Boy's dope.
Yeah. Now, the Voldarians, which is what Guy is half of,
not dope.
They can fashion their limbs into weapons, as well as project internally generated energy into munitions. They can basically make mind bullets. Or skin.
Honestly,
bullets.
Though, seems like someone whose inherent power sets would be very, very conducive to wielding a Green Lantern.
That's correct.
With the hard light constructs.
Well, you see, the Green Lantern Guy Gardner was born a Terran Voldarian hybrid. He was the first known case of a successful human alien offspring of this species. However, his extraterrestrial gene was remained rendered dormant by means of genetic alteration, the full side effects of which remain unrevealed. And if that sounds like a kind of gobbledygook, don't worry, we'll get into it, because dear God. But we're still in the 10 cent origin.
Yes.
Guy Gardner, of course, was created by John Broom and Gil Kane. His first appearance was in Green Lantern Volume 2, Issue number 59, in March of 1968. He, of course, was born on Earth. His team affiliations have been the Green Lantern Corps, the Justice League, the Red Lantern Corps, the Dark Stars, and the Justice League International. And, of course, his abilities are all derived from the powers of the Green Lantern Power Ring, including his uniform, his flight, his force field, his space travel, and, most importantly, his hard light constructs. Now, he's been portrayed by Matthew Settle in the Justice League animated series, and also, more importantly, Diedrich Bader in the Green Lantern the animated series.
We're big Diedrich Bader fans.
It's actually one of my favorite Guy Gardner appearances.
Nice.
All right, now we're going to move into the meet cute,
where we stole a term from romantic comedy writing, and we are going to tell you where we first met the character and how cute it was.
Ashley, I need to know. I must know. I am dying to know. How do you know Guy Gardner? When did you first meet this guy?
I honestly don't know because I hate him. I don't like Guy Gardner at all. I think he's terrible. I would assume.
Well, this isn't going to be a fun lesson.
You taught Damien. We did fine. I assumed it was probably Justice League, the animated series, because that seems to track. But like, I have no memory of the first encounter with this character. I've just always been like, ugh, this guy, the Green Lantern with the vest. Great. So not a Guy Gardner fan over here, but that's okay. Jason, where did you first meet cute Guy Gardner?
I met Guy Gardner in the first trade paperback I ever bought, The Death of Superman.
Yeah.
Because Guy appears in it. He's one of his periods where he is not a Green Lantern. He wears a leather jacket. He has a big bowl cut. He has a giant G on his belt. And he has a yellow power ring. And he has a bowl cut. And he gets his ass kicked by Doomsday. And at that time, I hated him. But to be honest with you, now I actually really love him. So, yeah.
There is one version of Guy Gardner that I like, but I think we're going to get to it in a little bit. So we'll talk about it then.
Okay.
There's one version I like.
Hey, listeners and Mind University students, let me interrupt the podcast really quickly to tell you about our new comic book, Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio. Yes, we have finally made a sequel to our Ringo-nominated all-ages adventure comic book series co-written by myself and Ashley Victoria Robinson. And the sequel is now on Kickstarter. You can go to JupiterJetComic.com and support the sequel of our all sci-fi hero genre jetpack girl adventure. Now, let me tell you a little bit about it. 17-year-old superhero Jupiter Jet has kept her city, Olympic Heights, safe for the last year. Her flying skills are unmatched. The city loves her, but she wants to do more. When the mysterious black flyer arrives in orbit and threatens her world, Jupiter Jet finds out that her hero skills may not be up to the task. Does Jupiter Jet have the courage to save her entire planet? Well, we'll soon find out in the second volume of the Ringo Award nominated series by ourselves. It is our comic book that we are kickstarting over there, and we have a lot of great awards, including you can get the book itself, you can get some prints by Wonder Woman artist Nicholas Scott, you can get some prints by Teen Titans artist John Boy Myers, and a whole array of comic book professionals. So if you know independent comic books are a love for the heart, and you know, we need your help over there at JupiterJetComic.com to make it happen. So come on over, come on down, fly on down, fly on over, and help us make more of our comic books. Pre-order the book for yourself, Jupiter Jet and the Forgotten Radio, over at JupiterJetComic.com. Also, really quickly, I want to welcome any of our new listeners that might be listening to this episode over at the Collider Factory / Collider Podcast little area of the internet. If you're new to this podcast, welcome. We hope you stick around, and you can go find our whole back catalog at geekhistorylesson.com. All right, now I got to throw it back to myself. Back to you, Jason. All right, now we're to the History 101.
The main meat, the main soy product, vegan meat of the lesson, where Professor Jason is going to teach you everything about the rowdiest Green Lantern, Guy Gardner.
Although Guy Gardner was created in the 1960s, he was reinvented by Steve Englehart and Joe Staton as a parody of the red-blooded American male. And that has remained his main identity into the modern age of comics. He's now sort of been adjusted to dude bro football jock by Jeff Johns, very similar to a Steve Lombard of the Superman supporting cast member, if you know who I'm referring to. Now, per Steve Englehart, in a 2016 magazine article all about Guy Gardner, he said that Staton's design for Guy Gardner was based on the character Major Ronald Merrick from the TV series The Jewel in the Crown. You know, that famous one. As Staton saw Merrick's entitlement and resentment as a parallel to Guy Gardner. Now, Staton also designed Gardner's famous, his sort of collar vest uniform.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He also designed that as well.
Cool. So they basically made Guy Gardner who we know and love.
Exactly, exactly. Now to the fictional character biography.
Let's do it.
Guy was born and raised in Baltimore to Roland and Peggy Gardner. Roland, of course, was an abusive alcoholic and beat his son regularly. Guy also had an older brother named Mace. We're not really going to be talking about Mace that much.
Okay.
Talk about the worst names for kids, right? Mace
and Guy.
And Guy.
Maybe it's just advice to Mace guys.
think that's a stretch, but sure. Like many of us, Guy sought escape in the pages of comic books, and his favorite was a comic book named General Glory. Now, fun fact, General Glory's sidekick Ernie's haircut directly inspires the high and tight sort of bowl cut thing that we're used to see Guy sport. And another fact, this was actually the General Gloryness of it all. This was a Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis Justice League International retcon.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very cool.
When you think about it, it actually fits really into Keith Giffen's sort of goofier writing.
I like it.
Which I actually really like. Guy eventually became a juvenile delinquent before going on to play football at the University of Michigan. That's why he says go Wolverine sometimes. Until he gets too injured to continue, and he wound up graduating with a degree in psychology.
What?
Yeah. Guy Gardner holds a bachelor's degree in psychology, Ashley.
I was going to say something unkind, but I'll keep it to myself.
Yeah. Now, his football injury is actually mentioned repeatedly throughout many Guy Gardner stories. So it's obviously something that really stuck with Guy. I almost said Kai.
Kyle Rayner?
No. Now, Ashley, I have to ask you, at the University of Michigan, Guy actually became good friends with a fellow student there, a fellow student by the name of John Henry Irons. Do you know who that is?
Steel.
Yes.
John Hinckley.
Yes. I like that. I like that little sort of retcon a lot, also because Guy is very involved in the Death of Superman storyline.
I didn't know that they were friendly.
And so is John Henry Irons.
Well, yes, as he is one of the reign of the titular Superman.
Yes, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if they're very friendly once they became superheroes, but they knew each other before.
That's cool. So I can accept that.
I don't know if there's ever been a story where they're like, you're Steel, you're Guy.
Well, then there should be. DC Comics can hire us to write it at any time.
If there is, I haven't read it. Mm-hmm. So, some of Guy Gardner's early career choices, including being a social welfare caseworker for prison inmates as they adjusted to life on the outside, and he was also a special education teacher. Now, you might be like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound like the guy I know.
I definitely do feel that way.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Also, if you remember from our Hal Jordan Geek History Lesson episodes, there are episodes 202 and 203 specifically.
Taught by Jason.
Where a lot of times we're like, I'm a pilot.
It's one of my favorite jokes.
Now, that joke was because of the Emerald Dawn Hal Jordan retcon, where Hal was a drunk and Hal went to prison for driving drunk. Well, guess what? In prison, Guy Gardner was his caseworker.
Shut up.
It was the first time they ever met.
God.
Now, because of this job and how hard it was, Guy lost his temper and he was fired from being a caseworker for prisoner inmates.
Mm. So, yes, because one must be calm and understanding.
Mm-hmm, but that is the first time that Guy Gardner met Hal Jordan.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Soon, Abin Sur crashed to Earth. Who's that, Ashley?
He's a pink alien who crashes to Earth and gives Hal Jordan his power ring.
That is correct. But he didn't mean to give Hal Jordan his power ring.
But Jason, that's what happens. I saw the movie.
Incorrect. And the less said about that movie, the better. So, Abin Sur, in his last act as Green Lantern, used his Green Lantern power ring to scan all of the people of Earth. The ring was to search for one that was honest as well as a being without fear. And the ring found two who were worthy of the ring.
Ba-ding, ba-ding.
Its first choice was Guy Gardner.
Womp, womp, womp.
What are these sound effects?
I don't know.
his first choice was Guy Gardner, but Guy Gardner was too far away.
So the Green Lantern ring is lazy.
No, actually, if you remember the storyline, Abin Sur was grievously wounded in about moments from death. So he only had as much time to get a replacement. Although typically the ring just automatically finds a replacement.
So the ring was too lazy to fly to Guy Gardner.
Abin Sur wanted to show the guy how the job works. He wanted to be like, the donuts are over there. This is where the good coffee is.
Abin Sur is not Homer.
Don't ever go to Vega 3. So he had to make sure he had to tell these people this.
All right. So Hal was closer and drunker. So he picked Hal.
So Hal was closer. So the ring chose Hal. Now, Hal eventually found out about Guy, and he actually always kept Guy in the back of his mind in case he ever needed a replacement. And there's actually a great Dan Jurgen storyline in his Booster Gold run, the second volume, where Booster Gold travels back in time and convinces Guy to go visit his dying father so that Hal would get the ring first, intentionally making sure that Guy is further away from Abin Sur.
Shady.
It's a great storyline, actually.
You shady ape.
This will not be in the recommended reading, but if you have not read that second volume of Booster Gold, you're missing out.
Yeah, Booster Gold's great.
Ashley, what is the one quality that Guy Gardner is known for?
Being mouthy?
I'll give that to you. His temper.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, being an ass.
I was like, are you going literal or are you going to be like, no, having red hair?
No.
Because you do that to me. So
well, you see, as I said earlier, this Guy Gardner isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Let's learn how he got his famous temper because comics decided that needed an origin story.
Did he get a kick in the head? Swift kick in the head?
You're pretty close.
Okay.
See, Hal Jordan. I'm a pilot. Hal Jordan.
You also kind of remind me of when you do your impression of the Flash intro and you say, I'm Barry Allen.
When I do my what?
Jason does his impression of the Flash TV show introduction where he says, I'm Barry Allen and I'm the fastest man. And the way Jason says it is very similar to the way he says, I'm Violet.
I see.
Joke only for Ashley.
See, Hal knew that Guy was his replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And an earthquake took Guy out of commission. So because of this earthquake, Hal had to make sure that he had to find another replacement, and he made John Stewart his replacement, who, as we know, is the African-American architect Marine Green Lantern. But when the time came, Hal finally came to Guy and said, you should be my replacement, Guy.
You're the guy.
Yep, you're the guy. So Hal leaves him with a new power ring and Hal's old Green Lantern battery.
Mm.
What Hal didn't know, though, is that he was actually having a problem with his old lantern. And as a result of this, his power battery explodes. It explodes right in Guy's face, causes a temporal incident, and opens the dimensional barriers to the Phantom Zone, where Guy got trapped in for several years because he got tortured by General Zod. Ashley, in case someone doesn't know, and somebody hasn't seen Superman 1, and somebody hasn't seen Terrence Stamp said, you will kneel before me one day, Jor-El.
Or Man of Steel.
You!
Or Krypton.
And your ass! What is the Phantom Zone?
The Phantom Zone is a prison dimension that I want to say is primarily used by the Kryptonians, but it feels like everybody else in the entire gosh darn galaxy has access to it. And it is, as Jason referred to, probably most popularly known for housing General Zod and his lady friend.
Mm-hmm. It was actually discovered by Jor-El.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yes. Well, you might be asking at this point, if Guy Gardner is in the Phantom Zone, then how does this lesson continue?
Well, Jason, if he's in the Phantom Zone, how can this lesson continue?
Well, I was getting to that.
Good.
See, when everybody thought Guy was dead, Hal Jordan hooked up with Guy Gardner's fiance by the name of Carrie Limbo. Yep.
Well,
her name is Carrie Limbo. Guy is literally in limbo.
Also, if you refer back to our Hal Jordan episode, Hal's a bad person.
Mm-hmm. I'm a pilot. Hey. I'm Hal Jordan.
Hi, I'm Miss Limbo.
Ah, hey.
I do a really good limbo. Do you want to limbo with me, Hal Jordan?
I gotta finish this drink. I think you got a dead boyfriend, right?
Yeah, I don't know where he is.
Okay, we should get married.
Okay.
That's basically what happens.
Jason's actually looking at a stuffed Hal Jordan as he does the impression.
So you see, because Hal Jordan is terrible, he proposed to Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And Guy Gardner could see all of these events from the Phantom Zone. So his rage built up. And it's led to Guy to try to torture Carrie and Hal during the wedding using telepathy. No joke. Silver Age comics are fun, friends. After being released from the Phantom Zone, with the torture he suffered there, coupled with having been hit recently by a bus after he gets out of the Phantom Zone. I'm not joking.
So you get out of those little silver phallic things that they send people to the Phantom Zone in, or that saran wrap shieldy thing. You step onto the street of insert fictional DC city here and you get slammed by a bus like Tony from Skins.
It's not immediate, but it's pretty close.
It's funnier if it's immediate.
And he goes into a coma.
Aw, I almost feel bad for him.
Yep. And he goes into the coma for an undisclosed number of years.
Comics.
Where it was then discovered that he had brain damage.
No kidding.
And then Crisis on Infinite Earths happened. Ashley, what's that?
Hey, well, if you really want to know, you can go back and check out our Crisis Club episodes.
Episodes 282 to 287.
Basically, DC was like, there's too many Earths. We only want one Earth. So they created the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor, and the Anti-Monitor ate it, and Harbinger waved, and he pooped out one universe.
Basically, it was a giant cosmic event that got rid of the DC multiverse. Mm-hmm. So during this event, the Guardians of the Universe, the little blue guys that are the bosses of the Green Lanterns, yep, split into two factions. The Guardians of the Universe, they detected this terrible crisis, and six of the Guardians felt that they should not interfere. And then the other one said, no, we should. So the ones that decided to interfere in the crisis, they created their own power battery separate of the giant Green Lantern power battery, and they began assembling a small Green Lantern strike task force. Mm. The first Green Lantern they chose was Guy Gardner.
It would have been so funny if you said, like, I don't know, Saronic Natu.
No.
Chip.
So Gardner's brain damage at this point had manifested himself into an arrogant, violent, unstable, and often childish new personality. And he also believed himself to be the last true Green Lantern, superior to all the other Green Lanterns, including Hal Jordan. So Guy was given the task to recruit this task force, and the members of his task force were basically powerful villains of the DC Universe. Mm. And both Hal Jordan and John Stewart, the other Green Lanterns, prevented Gardner from completing his mission. See, I mentioned earlier that Guy Gardner is the Green Lantern of Sector 2814.3, because 2814 is the sector of Earth. 2814.1 is Hal. 2814.2 is John. 3 is Guy. 4 is, oh, Kyle Rayner. We're going to get to him.
Who's 6?
I don't know that there's a 6.
Simon?
No, it's actually Jessica.
Jessica beats Simon?
No, Simon beats Jessica. What are you confused about here?
He comes before Jessica.
Yes.
So 6 would be Jessica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said 6 was Jessica.
Whatever.
What are you getting confused about here? Are you trying to do a joke that I'm not getting?
No, I'm not. I think I said 6.
I feel
and I
like
meant 5.
I have Guy Gardner's brain damage right now.
You know, I'm really restraining from making a joke about brain damage because it's really serious. It's really not a laughing matter. But they kind of use it as an excuse to turn Guy into a butthead.
They used it to make him to retcon it into an ass.
Yeah, in a way that with other characters, they just retcon them and they get new person. Like New 52 Superman is a little angrier, mm-hmm, than the Superman that we're used to up to that point.
Look, I'm going
to
say this. At this point, Guy Gardner has been thrown in. He was suffered an earthquake and went into a coma.
Uh-huh.
He was thrown into the Phantom Zone and tortured by a Kryptonian. And also he was hit by a bus and went back into a coma. At this point,
we're lucky he's not a serial killer.
At this point, I think his anger is totally justified.
You know what? Fair. You've given me a new appreciation for Guy Gardner.
You know? I think we'd all be this mad if those things happened to us.
Yeah, and he lives in a country without socialized medicine.
I think we'd be mad if only one of those things had happened to us. But he got all three, hit the trifecta of crappy deals.
I'm getting hit in the head.
Yeah. Now, after the crisis, the Guardians, along with the Zamorons, who are basically the controllers of the Star Sapphires, they left the universe to create the next generation of Guardians. And Guy Gardner was placed under the care of the remaining Guardian turned mortal, Appa Ale Apsa, who later went on to become the Mad Guardian. Spoilers for a story that happened in the 80s. Now, on the planet Maltus, in order to teach Gardner the way of the core, a situation with Gardner resented. Now, Guy Gardner eventually escaped and returned to Earth, but was recaptured by Appa Ale Apsa with the assistance of two core honor guards intending to reclaim Guy Gardner's power ring. At the request of his old fiance, Carrie Limbo, Hal Jordan pleaded on Gardner's behalf for his freedom and was granted with no return of gratitude from Gardner. So Hal Jordan sort of saved Guy Gardner, and Guy Gardner was like, buzz off.
I mean, honestly, though, like, if one of your close buddies slept with your girl and proposed to her while you were trapped somewhere, mm-hmm, would you ever forget? Would you be nice to him?
No.
I don't feel bad for Hal.
Yep. Then I was hit by a bus. I especially wouldn't forgive him.
Yeah, truly.
Now, after the defeat and death of the Mad Guardian, who, of course, as I said, was Appa Ale Apsa. I keep saying that name because it is an important Guardian character in Green Lantern lore.
And so few of the Guardians have names.
Mm-hmm. the Guardians returned and assigned Guy Gardner to be the official Green Lantern of Sector 2814, while they assigned Hal Jordan to recruit new core members in the universe. So Guy's on Earth, and he's the big Green Lantern at the time.
Cool.
So Guy Gardner became a founding member of the Justice League International. Yes. Now, this happened after the JLA disbanded in the 1986 storyline Legends, which was by Len Wein, John Ostrander, and John Byrne. Talk about a power hitting.
Murderer's row of talent.
Now, Ashley, we call this the Bwahahaha League. Yes. This is sort of the Keith Giffen run where they took the league a little bit sillier. I know this is a league that you are very fond of.
Yeah, in fact, I have a collage of postcards of famous comic book covers, and one of them is a Bwahaha Justice League cover, and Guy is front and center on that.
So I want to ask you, Ashley, can you name how many of the original members.
Of the original members.
For issue one members. Because there are plenty that added. Can you name? And just to let you know, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Well, a traditional Justice League is only 7.
This is the Bwahaha League.
Guy Gardner.
That is correct.
Ted Kord.
Blue Beetle. That is correct.
Booster Gold.
Booster Gold is not in the original lineup.
Okay.
He comes in, like, I think issue 4 or 5.
Fire and Ice.
Fire and Ice are not in the original lineup.
Rocket Red.
Not in the original lineup.
I don't know.
You're missing a whole bunch of them. They're all in that cover you're talking about.
Give me a hint. Batman?
That Batman is the team leader.
Batman's on that cover.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a hint.
She screams a lot.
Banshee?
No.
Silver St. Cloud?
No.
Black Canary?
Correct.
Oh, yeah, she is.
You have 4 of the 9.
Give me another hint.
His costume is yellow and blue.
Booster Gold?
No, not in the original timeline. He is a magic-y guy.
Booster Gold.
He's a magic-y guy? Booster Gold has nothing to do with magic. All about time travel and sci-fi.
John Constantine?
Nope. Blue and yellow. Wears a big helmet.
A helmet?
He wears a helmet. He's blue and yellow.
And he's magic?
And he's magic. And he lives in a giant tower.
Oh, Dr. Fate.
I was like, how many more clues can I give you?
He's gold.
He's yellow and blue.
Booster Gold. Dr. Fate.
Mm-hmm. This was a character that was first introduced in Crisis on Infinite Earths. It was a female version.
Harbinger.
Nope.
Dr. Light.
Yep. There you go. You have 2 more.
I'm doing okay.
This character, the superhero, loves cookies.
Oh, Martian Manhunter.
That is correct. And this last person recently had a son in a recent storyline.
Superman?
No.
Lois Lane?
No. Why would Lois Lane be a member of the Justice League International?
I don't know. You love her. She could do it.
I would, but she's not a superhero. This character is a new god.
Oh, Scott Free.
Yep, Mr. Miracle. So there you go. That is the original.
It's so funny because
as
we figured them all out, I could see the poster like coming into.
Is Batman, Black Canary, Blue Beetle. I forgot one. Captain Marvel. I'm sorry. Mm. Captain Marvel. Dr. Fate, Dr. Light, Guy Gardner, Martian Manor, Mr. Miracle. That is the original lineup. All those other characters you mentioned come later.
Yes.
So I want to ask you this.
Okay.
Ashley, even though we went in a big roundabout and probably lost half of our listeners.
It was fun. I think people liked it.
I hope so. What do you think the legacy of the Justice League International is? Because I'm not going to talk much about the Justice League International because I almost feel that should be a Justice League International geek history lesson.
I would love to teach.
By the way, everybody, we love the Justice League International. We have the omnibus of Volume 1.
Yes, so, we do.
Ashley, what do you think the legacy of this league? Because this league is very memorable, and comic creators and writers and fans still talk about this run now.
I mean, I think if you're sort of looking at the current sphere or currently what we're doing in pop culture, I think the legacy of it is very much blue and gold. Like the thing that everyone loves that comes out of this specifically is the tone shift for Booster and Beetle.
But I think that happens for all the characters here.
It does, but they're the breakout stars of it.
Sure.
Like if you took this question to anyone who would know what the Justice League International is, the first 2 people everyone's going to think are Booster and Beetle. Like, they are the faces of this team. I think what this does in terms of, like, if we're looking at it from, like, a more meta perspective and in terms of what it does for storytelling and Justice League stories in particular, it makes it okay to bring back some humor because...
This was the first, like, humorous run.
The Bronze Age of comics is very much a shift away from the silliness of the Silver Age. And it's where we start to get, where we edge into what's considered modern comics. Yeah, which Matthew Peterson likes to call, I'm going to armor my head. Mm-hmm. And most of that is through the auspices of Alan Moore and Frank Miller.
Yep.
And this is very much a rejection of that. Mm. But it is still taking everything that is happening to them as seriously. But we're allowed to have a couple punchlines here and there. And I think that's where the real legacy comes from, because I think there's a lot of books that are striving to be this balance and they can't do it. And I actually think Giffen and DeMatteis are a big part of that, because if I was to sit here and think of tonally, what do I think is closest to that? It's Scooby Apocalypse, which is kind of the same thing.
You should explain what Scooby Apocalypse is, just in case anybody doesn't know.
Scooby Apocalypse is an excellent book with questionable art later on. Howard Porter does the art in the beginning, and it's truly stunning. And if it weren't digital, I would have bought a page from it. Where it imagines, what if the Scooby gang came together in their adult life during a zombie apocalypse?
Mm-hmm. An actual real zombie apocalypse.
And it is set in a more modern, a less 50s idealized world. They all have real jobs. They're not friends going into this. But it takes itself very seriously. The stakes are real. It is life or death. People die constantly. It's a very mature audience book. But there's a joke every few pages. And I think...
And it's written very much, I think, in the Bwahaha style.
I agree. And I think that's why we call it the Bwahaha Justice League, because it reminded us that we could have jokes and still tell a really incredible story, because JLI at its best, I think, can go toe-to-toe with any Justice League. At its worst, it gets a little bit silly. So I'm sorry, that was a really long-winded answer to your question, but I just really like this team. And I think this is the best team for Guy to be on.
Yeah, sure. All right, let me tell you a little bit about it. In his time with the Justice League International, Guy Gardner resented Batman's obvious leadership of the group.
Of course he did.
Going so far to challenge the Dark Knight to a fist fight. And Batman downed Guy with one punch after Guy took off his ring. And actually, I think we should share a panel from that on the Twitter, because I'm making a note of it.
I've seen it before. It's funny.
It is one of the most famous panels in all of comic books. The other members left him lying on the floor. And when Guy woke up, he banged his head on a console and knocked himself out.
So this is like two more instances of probable brain damage?
This is two more.
So we're up to five?
We're up to five obvious grievous wounds to his head. And at this point, his personality changed to where he would be kind and gentle until he hit his head again.
Six.
At a later point, and Guy became kind, sweet, and boyishly innocent and a perfect gentleman to the female members of the group.
You know, I'm tempted to, when I post this episode before it goes live, to say, take a drink every time Guy Gardner suffers brain damage.
Now, at this point, he's going to hit his head for a seventh time. I'm not exactly certain when that happens, because he goes back to being the ass guy.
Okay, so he's
when that happens,
seven
I don't know.
It's fine.
Guy became romantically involved with his fellow leaguer Ice, even learning some rudimentary Norwegian, because she's from Norway.
I mean, she is, for all intents and purposes, what if Elsa from Frozen was a superhero?
Yeah, before we even knew what Elsa was.
Yeah, but it's the same mythos that they come from.
But he's actually callous to her and slow to admit his feelings, although they basically stay together until the mid-90s, which is going to happen. I'm kind of skipping ahead on Ice because it's all I'm going to talk about They actually stay together until the mid to late 90s, to when Ice is eventually killed by Overmaster, which is something that happens, I think, in certain relationships. Am I right? I mean, if I had a nickel for every one of my exes that were killed by the Overmaster, then I'd have about 55 cents.
You have 55 exes?
I don't know what you mean. Now, after Hal...
Dang, what is your little black book look like?
And after Hal was reassigned to Sector 2814, Gardner's response was to challenge Hal Jordan to a fight where the loser would have to quit the Green Lantern Corps.
Do you think if you're a Green Lantern of Section 2814, that just every 6 months the Guardians are like, hey, come in for a performance review?
Yeah, just like every corporation.
All right, you've been... great. Mm-hmm. You're crushing it. You've defeated a lot of foes.
Yeah, I'm Hal Jordan.
No, you can't be Hal. You have to be anyone except Hal Jordan.
Why?
Because we're going to replace you with Hal Jordan.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. Sorry. I'm a pilot.
All right. God, this goes better when it's not Hal who we bring into the room. But do you think that, it feels like Hal is, he's the Guardian of Earth. He's not, do you think it's disappointing to be literally any other Green Lantern except Hal Jordan?
Yep. Okay, they're so a giant space corporation. I bet you they replace them all left and right.
They're space AT&T. That's who owns Warner Brothers at the time of this recording. Mm-hmm. Okay, so guys, like, we're going to fight and the loser's got to quit forever, except we know that won't happen.
Guy Gardner lost and he had to surrender his ring. That's what happened.
Did he do it?
What do you mean?
Did he surrender his ring or was he like, screw off?
Well, I mean, Hal Jordan sort of took it from him.
Okay.
I'm kind of greasing those wheels.
Sure.
Now, before we get to the yellow ring period of Guy Gardner's life, I thought it would actually be fun to introduce you to some of Guy Gardner's brashest quotes in comic books.
I don't think he
because he's basically lipped off to everyone in the DC universe. So actually, I'm going to give you a Guy Gardner quote and I'd like you to identify or guess who you think he's saying it to.
Okay.
I'm going to help you out here. None of them are to Dr. Fate. Okay. Okay. Here's the first one. Okay. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not even certain what Guy Gardner should sound like. So
he should have a Boston accent.
Oh, dear God. No. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Too late, bug. One soon to be corpse coming up. Now, who do you
think?
Yes. Too late, bug.
Ted Kord.
You are correct. It was Guy talking to Blue Beetle in Justice League America, number 69.
All right, I'm doing real good so far.
Yeah, you're one for one. Okay, here you go. Take your pick, burial or cremation? Obviously a villain.
Yeah.
But it's a villain that you know.
I mean, that don't narrow the field too much. Mm-hmm. Darkseid.
Incorrect. It's actually Doomsday.
Oh,
Doomsday. Okay.
Okay.
And then here's the other one. Don't wuss out, Boy Scout. Put this
Superman.
Let me finish the quote, please. Don't wuss out, Boy Scout. Put this Doomsday guy in a pine box, or I'll crawl off of this gurney and kick both of your butts.
Definitely Superman.
Is Superman. All these quotes are from the Death of Superman storyline.
So interesting.
That was actually from Adventures of Superman number 497.
Nice.
Yeah. So now, if you liked some of that fun, weird, non-Boston accent speaking, you get to enjoy this free-to-you podcast, then maybe you should check out Geek History Lesson Extra, which is our exclusive podcast where we break down the topic of each week's GHL podcast a little bit more, only on our Patreon over at patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. This week on that extra podcast, we're going to talk about where should Guy Gardner appear in live action. We're going to give some pitches, give some thoughts about where we think he should pop up, because I think we both think he should pop up.
Yes.
And if you know anything about our past pitch episodes, they get pretty good.
Yeah, so sometimes they come true.
Yeah, we'll debate that. You'll get some extra and exclusive content only on Patreon, and you get sneak peeks to some of our comics only at patreon.com/Jawin. Thank you to all our patrons who keep the show going, and thank you for all the support over there.
Thank you so much.
Now, Guy eventually gets a solo series, and in it, he had a yellow ring. Ashley, do you know how he got that ring?
He was fearful. Sinestro was like, hey, it didn't work with Hal Jordan. Maybe it'll work with this second-rate Green Lantern. No, I have no idea how he got the yellow ring.
Well, his yellow ring is the real yellow ring of Sinestro. It is actually Sinestro's original yellow ring, because Sinestro at the time was dead.
Oh.
Now, Sinestro's ring was kept inside the crypt created by the Guardians of the Universe. And using his Justice League connections, Guy contacted the intergalactic bounty hunter Lobo.
Oh, boy, your favorite.
He's the big white and black bounty hunter guy. Mm. Lobo here. He's you bastitches.
Inexplicably Irish on Krypton.
It is a little weird.
It's a little weird. The actor does a great job.
By the way,
it's funny to hear him be.
I know you all know this Lobo.
Mm-hmm.
I know you all know Tex Willerman. Good old pal of mine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, anyways, me and Guy, I helped Guy into the crypt. So the two eventually found the crypt, and Guy discovered exactly what he came for. He battles the very spirit of Sinestro, because he was dead, to get the ring. And when Guy won, he donned the ring, and he discovered that it had no power.
What?
Because this yellow ring, this is pre-Sinestro core, did not use a battery to recharge. Instead, it needed to be used against the power of Green Lanterns so that it could suck their residual energy to restore its power, which Guy Gardner accidentally discovered when he fought Kilowog. So another flaw of this ring was that the ring's language was Kuragarian, which is actually the
Sinestro's language.
It's Sinestro's native language. So actually, this ring would talk to him in Kuragarian, and Guy had no idea what this ring was telling him.
Right, because previous to this, his Green Lantern ring had acted as a universal translator, so he never had to learn alien languages.
Yes. So Guy Gardner returned to Earth to pick a fight with Superman, but eventually rejoined the Justice League right at the time to battle the monster Doomsday, who is the big bony scaly guy who kills Superman. Fun fact, during the reign of Superman storyline, when four different versions of Superman appeared after Superman's death, Guy fought and later became allies with the last son of Krypton Superman, who was actually one of my favorites, the Eradicator.
He got cool sunglasses. He got Booster Gold sunglasses. Yep.
Then Emerald Twilight happened. Coast City, Hal Jordan's hometown, was destroyed, and Hal asked the Guardians of the Universe to bring it back. They said no, and Hal went bonkers and murdered every Green Lantern in the universe. Because I'm a pilot!
Emerald Twilight is my favorite title for a Green Lantern book. I think it's such a beautiful title.
So eventually, as I said, this power-hungry Hal Jordan is killing Green Lanterns left and right. Going crazy. Ganthet, one of the oldest Guardians
first
of the Universe.
First one with an
A. Yes. Came to Guy Gardner to offer him the last Green Lantern power ring that was made before Hal Jordan basically murdered everybody on Oa, the home planet. Gardner refused, which led Ganthet to decide to entrust it to Kyle Rayner, which you can learn more about because he's my favorite Green Lantern in Geekish Lesson episode 64.
Early days.
Yeah. Now, Guy eventually led a group of heroes to Oa to find out what happened to the Green Lantern Corps, and Guy and his team were ambushed and quickly defeated by Parallax. Now, Ashley, who is Parallax?
Hal Jordan.
Yes. It's actually the embodiment of fear in the universe, but at the time, it had possessed Hal Jordan. And Hal Jordan had a badass Daryl Banks designed costume, and he looked so good.
Oh, man. Daryl Banks, what a superstar.
Oh, man. Action figure spotlight. I'm going to tell you right now, this has nothing to do with Guy Gardner, but there is an amazing DC Direct Parallax action figure. When Green Lantern came back for Green Lantern Rebirth, they made a Parallax action figure, and it is a holy grail of Jason's. I have never been able to find this action figure.
If you have a lead, send us a link.
Please do. Please do. Everybody will just send me eBay links. It's fine. So, Guy was defeated by Parallax. And Hal defeated Gardner and destroyed his yellow ring.
Dun, 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 dun.
Now, Ashley.
Yes.
Guy awoke in a hospital.
With more brain damage?
After spending 3 weeks after his eighth coma. His eighth head injury.
As somebody who listens to a lot of true crime and murder podcasts, he should be a full-blown serial killer by this point.
Yes.
It usually takes about three too many hits to the head before that happens.
Well, this may explain a later storyline with Guy, actually. So Guy eventually, he was like, I got to find a new way to acquire power. So he eventually found new powers embedded deep in the Naba jungle in the Amazon. Upon exploring an ancient temple, Guy finds a chalice filled with a strange liquid, and he does what anybody would do when you see a strange liquid in an old temple. You drink it.
Okay.
This caused Guy to undergo a radical transformation, and this water discovered and activated his inactive DNA from the Voldarian aliens that I mentioned in the 10-cent origin. He could suddenly and painfully change his body into a myriad of weapons. And as he transformed, he grew to a massive 7 feet and became covered in ritualistic Voldarian tattoos. He became known as Warrior. And this is when the Guy Gardner solo title was redonned to Guy Gardner Warrior. And this
sounds scary.
This is a period. Ashley, you probably should share a picture of Guy Gardner Warrior.
Making a note.
With all the ritualistic red tattoos.
Oh, I've seen the covers.
It is bonkers. It is bonkers crazy. And this period of time is best forgotten. So that's why I'm just going to move along. So Guy Gardner during this time, he actually kept cropping up as a recurring character in Kyle Rayner's Green Lantern series.
That is true.
Where, I think this is so awesome, he opened a Planet Hollywood type restaurant called Warriors that was dedicated to the Green Lanterns.
I'm going to be honest. I also love this detail. I think if DC Comics really wanted to make some money, they would have a version of this on their backlot tour.
Sure.
Or the one from Kingdom Come.
It was also during this time that he was thought killed during the Our Worlds at War crossover.
Hey.
But he was actually later discovered to be trapped in a pocket of hell called the Gorge in the DC country of Polakistan.
Boo.
Yes. So Guy Gardner got tortured again. Probably got his ninth head injury.
Oh, my God. Did we get into double digits with these head injuries?
I don't know. Guy next appeared prominently in Green Lantern Rebirth in 2005, which is a miniseries by Geoff Johns and Ethan Van Sciver, where his Voldarian DNA is strangely overwritten by his human DNA when Parallax, the entity, possesses Gardner and several Green Lanterns. Hal Jordan's ring splits in two, and Gardner's ring is restored to him, and a bunch of other weird stuff is retconned away. Now, Parallax, the entity, is defeated by the combined effort of all five active Green Lanterns, including Guy Gardner. Excuse me, all four active Green Lanterns at the time. That was a misread on my part.
That's okay.
The Guardians, which should be called the Gardeners.
The Gardeners.
They selected Guy Gardner as one of their senior officers and made him an honor guard for the new Green Lantern Corps because all the Green Lanterns were killed, all the Guardians were killed, so there's not a lot of Green Lanterns in the universe. And he takes charge in the Green Lantern Corps Recharge miniseries as one of the three Green Lantern instructors on Oa to train all the new Green Lanterns. Then we get to Infinite Crisis.
Hey.
Ashley, what's Infinite Crisis?
So Superboy Prime comes back to life and he's real mad. So he punches a hole in the universe and Alexander Luthor's there.
Who's Superboy Prime, though?
He's the Superboy from our Earth because our Earth is Earth Prime.
That's right. He's a remnant from Crisis on Infinite Earths, which we talked about earlier in this lesson. Now, Guy takes over the main Green Lantern army, and he leads the Corps in defense of Oa against Superboy Prime, creating a wall of energy to slow the rampaging teen and calling a Code 54, which is the authorization of the use of extreme and lethal force against an enemy for the Green Lantern Corps. Guy supervises the final capture and imprisonment of Superboy Prime, locking him in a red Sun Eater cage, which, of course, takes away his powers.
And I love the phrase Sun Eater. I know it's really silly sci-fi nonsense, but I just love the way it sounds.
Now, also, after Infinite Crisis, DC Comics skipped all of their comic books ahead 1 year later. And this is a 1 year later storyline called 52. Now, DC also published a bunch of miniseries that told us what happened in some of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of these miniseries is a miniseries called Ion. Now, in this is a Kyle Rayner series. Ion is actually the embodiment of Will. Like, it is a spiritual creature that represents Will in the universe, like Parallax represents fear. Now, Ion bonded with Kyle Rayner during this miniseries. And this led Kyle to have the ability to travel the new and recently created new DC multiverse of the 52 universes.
Well, look, isn't that convenient?
Yes. He interacted with characters and several heroes from the Tangent universe, including the Tangent Green Lantern. Now, you might be wondering, how does Guy fit into this? I'm getting there. But first, Ashley, do you know what the DC Tangent universe is?
Oh, boy. I know that you have two copies of the book.
I have every trade they've ever made at the Tangent universe.
I don't. I've not read them.
Okay.
Is this Iron Lantern?
No.
Okay, then no, I don't know. That's Amalgam.
In the 90s, DC used to publish one-shots during their fifth week. Actually, as a person who worked in a comic book shop, can you explain to our listeners what a fifth week is in case they don't know?
Yes. So typically a month has 4 weeks. When there is a fifth week, that means there is a fifth Wednesday. New comic books, if you aren't familiar, come out on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. New prose books come out on Tuesday. New movies come out on Friday. So if there is a fifth week, typically, books come out the same week every month. So Spider-Man always comes out the first week. Batman always comes out the second week. Jupiter Jet always comes out the third week. Things like that. They don't tend to move them around too much in scheduling. So that means when a fifth week crops up, maybe two times a year.
I think it's like four times a year, I think, isn't it?
On a leap year, there's usually four. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's usually closer to three. Just depends on the year. Time is weird, kids. So fifth week, there's typically nothing scheduled. So you'll see a lot of things like annuals or a lot of collections. Fifth weeks are weird. So actually in the 90s and the early aughts, publishers made a concerted effort to have cool stuff to come out on fifth weeks, because fifth weeks can sometimes...
So where both the amalgam events happen.
Yes. Can sometimes feel like throwaway. Yes. They can kind of feel like they don't matter. Yeah. And it was cool when they matter, where then there was the potential that something cool would come out. So apparently Tangent was a part of that.
So Tangent is one of the fifth week 90s events. And Tangent actually was two of them. It was in 97 and 98. The first time it appeared, this was where they gave Dan Jurgens, a luminary creator, the ability to take the names of the DC Universe's characters and do whatever he wanted with them. So he made Nightwing a like 60s spy organization. The Atom became the most powerful hero in the in this universe. The Green Lantern became like a horror book with this woman who would carry around this Green Lantern and bring dead people to life. Now, what does this have to do with Guy? See, Kyle visited the Tangent Universe and he actually battled the Tangent Green Lantern and he kept the Tangent Green Lantern's power battery, the actual Tangent Green Lantern.
Okay.
And when he brought it back to the DC Universe, he knew it was a super powerful object and he left it to one person that he could trust, Guy Gardner. So Guy Gardner in his apartment on Oa has the Tangent Green Lantern.
Can I ask you a question? And if you don't know, it's okay.
That's fine.
Are the Tangent characters, do they live on their own Earth in the multiverse?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yes,
okay. They
do. I don't remember what.
That's okay. I remember when they, the Multiversity came out, that great series about the multiverse that Jason loves, written by Grant Morrison, that there was like a guidebook that came along with it and kind of showed who lived on what Earth, because one of them is all Fawcett comics and that's all Captain Marvel. Because I remember you pointing.
They are Earth 9.
Thank you. Oh, which in.
They are Earth 9 now.
Which in the TV continuity is where the DC Universe shows live. Mm-hmm. Titans and Doom Patrol, yep. Swamp Thing. Great. Thank you for letting me derail you. Because I remember you describing the female Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. The Tangent books aren't. They aren't amazing, but like they have. I love
cool
the
ideas.
They have a lot of cool ideas. I love the idea. Like in their universe, the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1963 happened and Russia bombed Florida.
Oof.
So like Florida is a nuclear wasteland and that has affected American history going forward. And actually, that is the event that creates all the superheroes in the Tangent Universe.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. I like an alternate history take on that.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. So soon after this, Guy is reunited with a resurrected Ice. And although he gets back together with her, he abandons her to go fully serve the Green Lanterns and open a bar on Oa.
I kind of like the idea that he's a bar owner. That fits for me.
Mm-hmm. Then Blackest Night happens. This is the event where all the Black Lanterns, there's black rings all across the universe and brings all the dead heroes back to life. And don't forget, guys, we were doing Blackest Night Club over on Patreon if you want to go check that out. Guy and Kyle Rayner are opposed to the Guardians' decision to execute all Sinestro Corps members in their prison cells. And they unsuccessfully convince the Alpha Lanterns and the Guardians to stay away from this path. And they're actually, because of this, they are reassigned to Earth. They later try to return to Oa and fail to repel an invasion of a swarm of black rings, which leads to Oa's Lantern Crypt, where all the corpses of fallen lanterns are reanimated as black lanterns. In the ensuing conflict, Guy is forced to crush the body of the insectoid Bzzd, which is a Green Lantern, and then is impaled through the leg by other dead Green Lantern, Kihan. But following the death of Kyle Rayner, spoilers!
Oh no, my BB!
Guy flies into a rage and is transformed and given a red lantern.
Mm-hmm.
He is now powered by both his green and red power rings at the same time, and Guy seeks vengeance against the Black Lanterns for killing his pal, Kyle, and he's able to actually destroy them very easily because he has two different light sources.
Mm-hmm.
He later turns his murderous rage on his former friends before Mogo purges the Red Lantern rage from him, and then he is told only the Blue Lantern can cure him completely, and eventually he is led into, confronting the Necron, the final Black Lantern battle on Earth.
Mogo's so cool.
Yes. Now, some of this gets swept under the rug when the new 52 sweeps into town and retcons Guy to being the middle child of a family from Baltimore. And all of his family basically served as police officers now. So he follows in their footsteps. In this continuity, he's the second human to be chosen by a Green Lantern ring. And this was prompted by now Guy rescues his older brother, who is now named Gerard, from a police shootout. And also in this relationship, his retcon is that he actually still talks to his dad, who is now named Ebenezer.
Instead of Roland.
Yep. And it took a bullet and now the job he was forced to retire. So actually, just real quick, very briefly, what is the New 52?
Barry Allen misses mommy, so he ran back in time and reset the universe after Flashpoint. And everyone had only been superheroes for 5 years, except the ones Geoff Johns was writing and Batman. And everyone got more lines on their costumes.
Yeah, no, in the New 52, Guy basically becomes a Red Lantern full time. Initially, Guy appeared to be the one Earth Green Lantern that the Guardians still relied on. But having expelled Hal out of the Green Lantern Corps after the War of Green Lanterns event, and expelling Kyle for working with other color ring welders. And
it's
they,
a little racist there,
and
guys.
They expelled John Stewart for being put on trial for killing another Lantern. So Guy was actually placed into the cast of the Red Lantern series, where he was sent there by Hal Jordan to join the Red Lanterns undercover. He defeats Atrocitus, who is the leader of the Red Lanterns, and takes command of that group. It is revealed that part of his decision to join the Red Lanterns is feeling as if he never really fit in as a Green Lantern because of his rage. Mm. And as a Red Lantern, Gardner manages to keep his rage in check, successfully leading most of the Red Lanterns. And Atrocitus leads a splinter Red Lantern group, which allows new Red Rings to cause murderous justice beige while murderous justice-based rampages continue. After joining with the Green Lanterns to defeat the cosmic terrorist Relic, Hal promises to give the Red Lanterns a sector for their own to watch over. And unwittingly, they kind of trick him into making that sector 2814, which is where Earth resides. So Guy Gardner and the Red Lanterns are in charge of guarding Earth for a while. And then DC Rebirth swoops in, which is this, you know, basically this soft reboot of the DC universe.
Wally West comes back to life.
Yeah, Wally West comes back to life. It changes Guy's backstory again, bringing back the abuse from his alcoholic father. And their fights draw the attention of the Sinestro Corps. And actually, fun fact, his dad's name is changed back to Roland during the DC Rebirth. And that's where we're going to end this lesson, because there's two things to learn about. It's that Guy Gardner is the owner of an abusive father and grievous head wounds.
I keep thinking of the clip from Aladdin where the genie is trying to save Aladdin from evil Jafar. Because Aladdin has said some quip and he's like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He said one too many hits with the snake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just keep thinking about that every time Guy gets hit in the head again.
Nice. All right, let's go into the recommended reading, Ashley.
The recommended reading is where if you have enjoyed our humorous take on Guy Gardner and you are interested in this weird character and you want to know some more about it, you head on over to geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. Professor Jason is going to recommend some supplementary material for you to pick up. You click on the widget. Amazon brings it to your house for free. And a little bit of support comes back to the Mind University at no extra cost to you, so we can start building our own Red Lantern Corps here on campus.
Look, none of these are going to be the Guy Gardner solo series. One, because
what?
It's not great. Two, because it hasn't really been collected either.
Fair.
The first choice is Green Lantern Corps Recharge. This is the series right after Green Lantern Rebirth. This is where Guy and this is where Guy, Kyle, and John are teamed up and they're training lanterns, and it's cool. My second choice is Red Lanterns Volume 4, Blood Brothers. This is where Guy takes charge of the Red Lanterns. And also, this is where Guy changes his look for the first time in years as writer Charles Soule gives him a Fu Manchu.
Yeah, gives
him a haircut, too. He loses the bowl cut. And my third choice is a collection of Justice League International Volume 1. They have a trade of this. It's like the first 10 issues. It's really, really worth reading. All right, Ashley. Going to go into the discussion.
Well, we're going to discuss stuff.
Yeah. What purpose do you think Guy serves in the Green Lantern Corps, Green Lantern mythos? Because he's a character they keep bringing back.
Mm-hmm.
And they've even retconned him into original Green Lantern history. I mean, what do you think from this lesson? Like, because I didn't like Guy when I first met him, but I now have a strong appreciation for him.
So I mentioned this at the top, and I did it with what I hoped was humor, that I don't care for Guy. But I really think, especially if you just condense the Green Lanterns down to the human Green Lanterns.
Yep.
Even though there are too many Green Lanterns.
Because now there's eight.
There's way too many Green Lanterns. What I think is genius is if you look at all of them and you look at them through the lens of will, which you must, because a Green Lantern is known and driven by their will, they show the different ways that will can personify in a person. And Guy, to me, represents the anger-driven will. So this is a real fantasy trope, and it's a real YA trope that a character has had a tough upbringing and they said, I don't feel anything. I'm just angry because I know what rage is, and rage drives me. And that's what Guy is. Guy is all hard edges. He's all machismo. He's all big talk and hard fists. But it's because with that artifice, he's been able to muscle his way through these tough things in his life. So I think Guy is a representation of will through the lens of a cactus.
Okay.
Like, he's spiky and mean on the outside, but he has a good heart and he's always trying. He's honestly trying his best. He's just not good at it. Mm-hmm. Like, Guy Gardner might objectively be a better person than Hal Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hal Jordan, like, cheats on his buddy's girls while they're in a tough jam instead of going to save them. You know, he went to jail. Like, Guy is trying to do good, but he's just not great at it. And I think that's what he adds. And I think because the Green Lanterns in some ways are held up in a deified position, particularly when you get to Kyle, who's my favorite Green Lantern.
He's the best.
But Guy kind of grounds them and brings them back to Earth. And I think when he's employed well, I think the best Guy Gardner is in the Wahaha Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in Green Lantern, the animated series.
Yes.
Because they use him as a punchline. And in the context of that show, and they pair him up with Chip, it really works. And that's what I think he adds to the mythos. And then also, if you're looking at it, you want to go to the editor brain and the publisher brain from a sales point of view. He brings in the same group of people who love Lobo.
Yep.
And who love Venom. He is appealing to a very specific demographic as well.
Totally.
Do you have any other thoughts about sort of his?
No, he's the drill sergeant.
Yeah.
That's exactly who he is. He's the drill sergeant, Green Lantern. That's exactly who he is.
Great.
Yeah. All right, now to the teaching tweet.
Where? I can't believe Professor Jason remembered this.
I did it this time.
In 140 characters or less, he is going to sum up everything he just taught you about Guy Gardner. I'm so proud.
Guy Gardner. He's the SHT kicker of the DC universe, at least until he gets hit on the head again and falls into a coma.
Oh, funny and sad.
Yes.
Just like Guy Gardner.
And now we're going to go to the honor roll.
Where if you go to Apple Podcasts and you leave us a 5-star review, we'll read whatever you write. Also, if you are an international person, because we cannot access international Apple Podcasts, if you take a screenshot of it and email it to geekhistorylesson@gmail.com, we will very, very happily fold you into the fray. I'm looking at you, Kazakhstan. Let me know who's listening.
I don't know if we have any listeners in Kazakhstan.
I bet we have one.
Okay.
I mean,
this is going to show my ignorance. Is Kazakhstan still a country?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
I will Google it.
I kind of think we need to find this out, Ashley.
Well, you read the first one and I'll tell you.
Hold on. We're going to figure this out. I think you did stop the podcaster. Kazakhstan. Yes, it is. Wow.
Hey.
Good on you.
I think they're in the World Junior Hockey Championships.
I apologize. Regularly? I hope we have listeners of Kazakhstan because that'd be cool. All right. The first person that is going to join the honor roll is some guy 543 who said, I stumbled across Geek History Lesson when I was randomly looking up information on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and found their episodes. What I found was the most fun and informative podcast on everything I love. I find my work days go much faster when I have a couple of episodes of Geek History Lesson keeping me company. Thank you, Jason and Ashley. Highly recommended. Wow. That's awesome.
I'm
glad we're able to help your work day. Some guy 543. The next person to join the honor roll is Kyle MJ6977, who says, the hosts have great chemistry and convey a shared passion for comics, superheroes, and geek culture in general. Kudos! I think this podcast would definitely be Tex Willerman approved.
Nice.
Well, you know, God, you know, I say this, Tex Willerman, I have popped into the podcast.
Yeah, I heard that this listener really likes you.
Yeah. Well, Kyle MJ, you have a definite job. At the Austin Piggly Wiggly, the Tex Willerman Piggly Wiggly. You can put out my packages of crackers any day.
You can email your resume to geekhistorylesson@gmail.com and we'll be sure to pass it on.
I will not look at it. I only read Louis L'Amour novels.
Is he a cowboy writer?
Oh, yes, yes.
What about Dalton Wilcox?
Dalton Wilcox is, I think he is a liar and a cheat. And he owes me $50.
Anyway, like to come on the podcast and defend himself.
I would love to have Dalton Wilcox on the podcast. So anyways, we need to get to the
last we have one more. So thank you for stopping by.
All right,
tell Kurt that
I'm going to unplug this wire. I had Sarah. I called on Sarah on my old timey phone. I said, click, 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 get me on a Geek History lesson. Plug, plug.
Sarah.
Sarah, she's the operator for Mayberry.
Okay, because she's definitely not your wife.
No, that's Judy.
That's right.
All right. All right. I'm going to see you later.
Bye, Tex.
Click, click. The third person to join is the Gingy92.
Cute.
Gingy92. He says, I love being able to pop on your podcast and learn so much in about an hour. We say this now as we're like over an hour, definitely. They say, I never listened to podcasts before I discovered Geek History Lesson. Thanks for being great.
That's such an honor.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad. So Gingy92, KyleMJ6977, and SomeGuy543, thank you so much for leaving us 5 stars. And if you want to be like them, you can literally write everything, anything you want. Give us 5 stars. We'll read it on the show. Don't forget to subscribe and download us on iTunes. And also listen to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and all the places you can find podcasts. Ashley, if they want to suggest a future lesson, just like...
If they want to be as cool as our TAs.
As Katie Campbell, Eric Oberholzer, and at Hinkleman Mitch. Where can they do that?
They can do that at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There's a bunch of ways to contact us in all those places.
And don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin, JAWIIN, and follow Ashley on Twitter, Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. And please go follow us, guys. I know there are some of you in Kazakhstan that listen to this. And I expect every one of you to follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
I also expect you to make yourself known because we need a place to stay if we come visit.
That's right. Hashtag stick around. That's the part of the podcast where we make sure you stuck through the plugs. And if you like it, you can hashtag stick around on Twitter. Ashley.
Yo.
Whole bunch of Earth Green Lanterns.
Too many.
There's 92 of them.
Uh-huh.
Who is Guy's best partner? Now, if you feel that's not a Green Lantern... That's fine. Who is Guy Gardner the best when he's partnered with? For me, it's a Green Lantern.
Is it John?
No, it's actually Kyle.
Interesting.
Like him and Kyle actually complement each other very well because they're opposites. Like Kyle is the artsy, open-minded guy, and Guy is the drink a beer and watch the game guy. But they actually work really well together.
It's really tough because I'm just not super familiar with Guy. Mm-hmm. I can tell you the character I like seeing him written with most.
Who's that?
I really like Guy against Batman.
Oh, that's funny.
Because
they don't like each other.
They hate each other. I mean, there's a grudging respect, of course. But because Batman is a great leader, he's a great tactician, he's a hard ass, and he is a leader of men and women and non-binary individuals. But he's kind of everything Guy wants to be. And he's annoyed because Guy fronts with him. And then Guy is annoyed because he can't figure out why Batman is better than him. And it's funny that he punches him in the face. That's good for a laugh. But I think from a writing perspective, I think pairing them against each other is very interesting.
It's an interesting pick. Yeah. And I really like that pick.
Thank you.
And that's also a perfect pick to end the podcast because this has been Geek History Lesson. And I have been Jason. Don't let me fall into a coma in them.
I have been Ashley Victoria Robinson and Professor Jason. Before you suffer a head injury. Would you please dismiss the class?
Class is... Oh, no, a truck!
Oh, my God.